Good morning.
Welcome to this morning's act of worship. The theme of this morning's service is about understanding, or trying to understand, other faiths. And I was struck this morning, getting ready, when I heard on BBC Breakfast News on the television that the last year's winner of the Great British Bake Off, Nadia Hussein, was quoted as saying that she's become accustomed to being abused in public and experiencing anti-Muslim sentiments. Just become a matter of routine. So I thought it was interesting that she should say that on a morning when I would invite you to think about interfaith matters.
Our first reading this morning is from John, chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you'd ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't come here to get water."
Thanks, God. God has given us many faiths, but only one world in which to coexist. May your work help all of us to cherish our commonalities and feel enlarged by our differences. So said Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi. But he goes further. He said this: "We should have an appreciation and respect for all faiths, with an emphasis that recognizing the values of each is the only path to effectively combat the global rise of violence and terrorism." Religion often gets a bad press, doesn't it? The media seems to have a knack of citing the negatives about religion rather than all that is good in it. Religion's often blamed for conflicts and war, and with some justification. If you think back over your history, the Crusades, the French Wars of Religion, the 30 Years' War in England, Catholics versus Protestants, clergymen hunting witches. Faith groups and religions have also been the target of violence and persecution. Again, if we think back, the Catholic Inquisition, the Nazi regime against Jews, communist ideology against religious faiths of any kind, and more recently, extremism in the name of God. Today, misunderstandings and tensions exist between faith groups, and there is widespread disunity, often over very little, within faith groups. And we have a knack of making matters worse by airing our divisions in public and turning people off religion and off God. I believe that if there is to be peace in the world, we first need peace in and between religions. As Jonathan Sacks said, cherishing our commonalities and feeling enlarged by our differences. But for that to happen, there needs to be a peace process, and we can and should play a part. For did not Jesus say, when he taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes as we often refer to them, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Such are the men and women of the kingdom of heaven, peacemakers. In seeking closer ties with other faiths, there's no need to compromise our beliefs, our ways. It should be more a matter of listening, sharing, explaining our respective beliefs, and in the process, building trust and then cooperation. And for the purposes of this sermon message this morning, I want you to forget, I want you to ignore extremist groups like the so-called Islamic State. They are not religious. They are not of God. But no one can deny there is some terrible Christian persecution and violence around the world. But it seems to me that other faiths and religions tend to respect Christianity more than we respect theirs. I think often as Christians we are indifferent to others. So here then are three suggestions for closer ties with other faiths. The first is biblical. The second is that I think there is more that unites us than divides us. And the third is perhaps some practical steps that we could take to build relations with other faiths and embark on that peace process that I referred to. The biblical case is strong. In the beginning, God told Abram, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, it's as early as that, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Here is God, in the beginning, making clear to Abram and his people, and we are descendants of that people. Here he is, making the point that we are to be a blessing to others. It's a sentiment later on echoed by Jesus himself. We are to love one another. We are to love our neighbour. And that means people everywhere. Not just family and friends or people we know, but people of every kind. In this town, in the next town, communities across the country and beyond. But it is not only what Jesus said, but what he did that matters. In our reading that John led us in from John's Gospel, and that encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is a good example. The hatred between Jews and Samaritans was fierce and long-standing. It was rooted in the early division of Israel, hundreds of years before Christ, and also the way that the Samaritan tribe behaved and conducted itself, with mixed marriages and mixed acts of worship. But in that story, Jesus ignores the ethnic and religious differences. And what we see is an everyday encounter. He listens and talks to the Samaritan woman. He explains who he is and shares his message. But that wasn't an isolated incident. I'm sure you'll remember the occasion when Jesus is begged by a Greek Gentile woman, born a Syro-Phoenician, begged by her to help her daughter. We're going to hear another reading from Mark's Gospel now of that encounter. It's in Mark chapter 7, and John's going to read it for us.
The faith of a Gentile woman. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman with hair about her came and fell at his feet. A little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, more than a Syrian Phoenician, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children in my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found a little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon.
That incident exposes the ancient prejudice of Jews against Gentiles. You and I, people who were not Jewish. It was a prejudice actually encouraged by the Jewish religious leadership and also the divisions that existed in society. It was a prejudice that the Jews themselves found very difficult to cast off, because they didn't want others to be like them. They didn't want others to be their equals. There are different theories about why Jesus reacted so gruffly to this woman. But this woman, this lady, was not to be put off. And she engages boldly and creatively in discussion with Jesus, demonstrating a great trust in him. Jesus is impressed, and ethnic and religious differences are put to one side. And as we heard, Jesus helps her daughter. Another example, this one a bit more dramatic, is when Jesus is approached by a Roman centurion. Let's hear it from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8.
The faith of a Roman officer. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him."
"I will come and heal him." This was a centurion, a man of rank, representing the brutal authority, an unwelcome aggressor, an occupant of Jesus' country. A man who probably associated with Roman gods, Mars, Jupiter, and the like. But when Jesus is asked to help his dying slave, he immediately agrees to help. ethnic, cultural and religious differences yet again are swept to one side. The second suggestion I want to make is for getting closer to other faiths is that there is more that unites than divides us. None of us have any control over the culture or religion we are born into, or the environment in which we are subsequently raised. Any one of us could have been born into another place, another culture, another faith. Mankind has always searched for God, since first being able to gaze upwards into the heavens and look for the stars and planets like Jupiter, since first being able to draw images on cave walls. All faiths have sought out God. All faiths have gatherings. They worship. They hold rituals as we do. They pray and have rites of passage throughout life. They may be very different to ours, but they serve the same purpose, to find a way to God. So I believe we can learn from each other and in the process become closer. Mahatma Gandhi, which no doubt some of us will remember, a Hindu, said this, like a bee gathering honey from different flowers, the wise man accepts the essence of the different scriptures and sees only good in the different religions. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama, a Buddhist, said all religions pursue the same goal, cultivating human goodness, bringing compassion to human beings. And though the means may be different, the ends are the same. Sadly, the extremist tries to create and exploit divisions between faiths. Misconceptions and misunderstandings are many and simple often. Let me just try one or two of the misunderstandings that exist. How many of us know that the word Islam means peace and submission to God? Peace and submission to God. Or the word jihad, which I imagine virtually all of us associate with violence. But for most Muslims, real Muslims, it means the struggle to seek God, and in so doing, so live well. The struggle to seek God and live well. How many of us know that Jesus is mentioned more often in the Quran than Muhammad? And that Moses is mentioned more often than both of them? How many of us have realized that the Lord's Prayer is very like the Islamic call to prayer? And the one, when I was reading it, that struck me more than any other was the beauty of the message that is given to honor Mary's life and role as Jesus' mother in the Quran. And there are many other similar references in the Holy Scriptures of the different faiths. For all seek to follow God, act compassionately towards others, especially the poor. The poor is a constant theme through all the different scriptures. And all claim to seek unity and equality. There is more that unites us than divides us. And our task must be to find that common ground and stand together, and in that way bring peace. So last night, can we do as individuals, as a congregation, if we are so minded, to help that peace process? Well, here's one or two suggestions. We could take advice from the new interfaith officer at the Church of Scotland headquarters, finding their way into the job and the role that they've been given. We could sign up to the Fife Interfaith Network. Yeah, Fife Interfaith Network. And maybe, if there is someone here this morning that would be interested in making that contact, then have a word afterwards. We could participate in the Scottish Interfaith Week that is coming up in November, when the theme for the week will be religion and the media. That's between the 13th and the 20th of November. We have such a great social group here in St. Margaret's, with the cafe and such like. Perhaps we could extend some hospitality to other faith groups. One other possibility is that when Holocaust Memorial Day comes round in January, perhaps we could invite someone here to speak to us who has suffered from persecution or genocide. There's lots we could do, and I'm sure sitting there some of you have ideas as well. So there you are, three suggestions for greater cooperation with other faiths. The biblical imperative, the fact that more that unites us than divides us, and some practical steps that we could take to join in that peace process and bring faiths closer together. I want to close by reading and showing you these profound words. Spirit is eternal and beyond birth and death. Spirit is beyond name and form. When you are truly in love with Jesus, you will see Jesus in every name, in every form, in every nook and corner of the planet and beyond. If you are just imagining Jesus as a form limited to a certain time in history and place, then your growth is limited, because you are limiting Jesus. You are not looking at Jesus for what he is or who he is. He is not in the past. He is here now. And he will be in the future also, forever and ever and ever. These words were spoken just a few weeks ago at the Church of Scotland General Assembly Hall by His Holiness Ravi Shankar Ahimsa. Lord, as we go from this place, give us the imagination, the vision, the confidence to join hands with those in heaven and people across the world. One God, one world, one people.